So this is Coach to Coach for the October group, Practicum 2, Group B, with Susan Grace Beekman, and it's December 21st. Okay, so this is a lot. I'm guessing there will be quite a few people, well, maybe about half of the group it looks like, or a little less, will be listening. So we want to invite you to thank you for being here, and as we all do our work together, this is how we're learning. And so thanks for doing this when you do it and listening when you listen. This is a difficult, in my story of this, this is a difficult time to have a practicum too, although it's a perfect time when I think about it, when I, you know, I turned it around real quick, which you're not supposed to do, because you know, you're around, usually around more triggers, families, friends, food, you know, all of it. And it can come very fast. And so if you can get a chance to catch some of those thoughts and just really in the situation, take notes on it. So you can really go back to your mind, slow it down, and see what the, you know, what the tantrum was, what the mind was doing. This is just perfect for that. And if you aren't in the class, I'm guessing, it, you know, now there are, I noticed, I heard from one person who's not here, there are opportunities that still abound for you and for all of us. In fact, I just got back late last night because my daughter was hit head on by a, she's okay, she had a concussion, we're working with it, but I spent 3 days with her in Portland, just somebody pulled right into her, making a left turn illegally. And so, you know, it's just, you could spending time driving around in the city, and even a smaller town I live in, there's that energy. We're all energy workers, right? You know, you can just sort of feel it. And so I described it as getting, I don't know, I just did a blog on something related about being caught into the holly and mistletoe cyclone and then dumped out somewhere else on January 1st or 5th or whatever. So it's good that we're all, and we've got some work to do. The reason I said it could be a bad, terrible time is because I think, and I hear from cadets and people who are in certification, that practice two goes so fast, and that's really the core of the program in a way, the thought work. And we're like, you know, like the work is, you know, the Byron Katie work, go to a 9-day school. You know, it's, we're trying to take this material that is, can be very subtle and complex, and then just giving you a taste of it so you can go further. But in terms of being able to really absorb it, it does take some time. So if you have time between the two calls, please, you know, do as much as you can. Do your judge your neighbor worksheets, try with family members, and get keep your mind tuned in, I think, is the kind of where it starts. It's like Byron Katie, I heard her say one time, just do question one for like months. Is it true? You don't have to do anything else. Because you start to watch your mind and ask yourself that question, and things begin to unravel. Mm. And that's all homework. So there'll probably be opportunities for all of us. Okay, so I wanted to start with reminding you that to bring your judge or neighbor worksheet, and we'll choose a thought from that as you practice coaching. But I wanted to start with questions because, boy, I threw a lot at you last week. And then your homework was to practice it, you know, using, you know, what's in the manual. And I'd just like to know how it's going and where you have questions.
Hi, this is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
I had the privilege of having you coach me through this in the Inquiry Power Hour.
Oh, that was you.
That was me, yeah.
Oh, so you knew about the accident.
Yes, I did. I know. I'm glad
I was just getting
she's
packed
okay.
To go. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Yeah. That was you.
Yeah, I felt like you showed up there for me. So, but yeah, that was extremely helpful. And one of the things that was so helpful about it is that it gave me permission when I was working with other people to not assume that the first line in the Judge and Neighbor worksheet was the correct one. And I found that was really, that with most people, you had to keep asking questions until you actually got the right situation or the right phrase.
You want to give people, and honestly, I have my notes here somewhere, Cindy, but it's been a long time since then in my
right.
life. So can you tell people what happened in your experience?
Yeah, it was... I was angry with my daughter-in-law, and what happened is there were all different pieces of that came up, and I was lucky enough to actually work on those things, to use those things that came up and use them during the week when I was coaching or other people were coaching me, and that was really helpful too. But it was you just kept poking around to try and get to what the real problem was. And it wasn't really that I was, it ultimately ended up as that I was having an issue with, you know, I was having an issue with her, but it was a whole bunch of other stuff that I was laying on top of it. And so you just kept taking the layers off, and that was really helpful. And I think in the end, I think we changed the first sentence. I don't have it written down, so I can't.
Oh, I have it here.
It
I do have it here.
Okay.
By the way, everybody, let that be a lesson unto you. There are taking notes. I haven't mentioned. I'm guessing Deb did. I take notes like nobody's business when I'm listening.
Yeah. Even when you're being coached?
When I'm being coached, yes, although I think that's hard, and my clients usually take notes. So they'll just say,
right.
Hold on a second. You know, and they usually, you know, if there's something that, you know, I encourage that, and I encourage them to do journal, you know, have a journal and so forth.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I find that's actually worked better for me than recording a call and sending it to them, by the way. People very rarely ask because it's such a meditative process.
Right.
So it was her fear is placing demands on my son.
Right.
And we started off with the situation. You gave me a little bit of the situation. And her fear and neurosis will be detrimental in her pregnancy was what we started with.
Right.
And then as we, and I think, was her fear of placing demands on my son, was that on your worksheet somewhere?
It actually wasn't. It was just I was angry with her because I think it was because she was having, I have it somewhere, she was having, because she was so stressful, wouldn't do any, she wouldn't get help. That was the issue.
Right.
That
wouldn't
was what I said,
help.
Because
right.
she, right, she wouldn't
She
get
should
help.
Get help, ask for help, not make.
Exactly, right.
From the 8 months, for 8 months from now.
Right.
Yeah, and it was all for you. It was all a prescription for your happiness in the end, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It had nothing to do with that.
I should make decisions based on what's happening 8 months from now. I remember that.
Yeah,
I think what happened was as I listened to your worksheet, and I do, we probably won't go through the whole worksheet today, and you know, when we do this process, but I do with clients listen to the whole thing and take notes and try to check in with my body and my body compass and intuition. There was something you said about feeling distant from your son.
Right.
And I think that was where I began to tease that out. And
yeah.
And so I ended up, ironically, here I am in the work. I ended up, or whatever, I ended up not taking it from the worksheet, but finding, going a little, drilling a little further about the sun. At least that's what my notes say.
Yes, yes. And also one of the things I realized was that the information I was making all of these decisions on was information that came from my sister. And
that's right.
Very, yeah. And so that was something I worked on because she is not a reliable source. And yet mm-hmm. I chose to, you know, it was just very interesting. It gave me a lot to work on during the week. So, but,
so did you get to do a work, and everybody that's listening, this is all for you. That whole process was pretty classic, I think. Did you get to work on your sister? Because I remember now the sister.
I did.
I also knew the sister was the issue, but I felt like we needed to stick closer to your worksheet.
right. And and actually I did, and that was really helpful also, to be able to actually identify what was going on there, you know. And so it was good. It was very helpful. But it allowed me when I worked with other people, to not move away from the process, but not to have to stay specifically with what they were talking about, to try and find out if there was something
mm-hmm.
underneath
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Well, good, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to hold the banner for sticking close into the work, but I'm glad that worked for you. And I think, you know, for me, it is such a combination of intuition and going further. And it sounded like that worked for you.
Yeah.
So notice that there in Cindy's example, there were at least three players. And you'll find that when you start listening to worksheets or, you know, unpacking them with your people, that there'll be other hidden players in there. And it turns out that in this case, I'm thinking, I guess it's got this right, Cindy, it's like your son and your sister were at least as important, really your sister, because she gave you the
answer. Yes, right.
Yeah. So you'll have to thank her because she was really, you know, responsible for breaking you free from all this.
Yes.
Actually, you can thank you. Okay. Oh, yeah, that was a good one. So, anybody else? Have you had a chance to practice? Well, by the way, Simone, I just muted you, and you can unmute. I think you can unmute naturally. There was some background noise. Yeah, I'll unmute you now. There's a little background noise. So if you can mute as that comes and goes. All right. So anybody else practicing? I mean, this is a big bite. How far did you get in practicing?
Hi,
Julia.
Melissa.
Oh.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I heard Melissa and then I heard Julia. So we'll go in that order.
Got it.
Okay. This is Melissa. This is really a question. I have a friend who wants to coach with me, and she is paralyzed from the neck down and has no sensation in her body.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking for some ideas on how to use the mind-body tool with her, if you've ever had that experience.
It's interesting. I have the daughter of a friend who I did coach has since been in that situation. I would question for you, is it true that you can't have the internal sensation without the external sensation in the body?
Well, I actually posed that question to her.
Oh, good for you.
And she said that everything she feels except for phantom pain is in her head. And her face.
Okay, well, then just do the work. You know, just do the work. And so the question, there's one question that's body-centered, which is in question three, how does it feel in your body when you feel when you have this thought? Let it go. Maybe it could be an emotion question, because emotions really are energy that moves through the body. And maybe that would be easier for her.
Okay, that's a good idea.
So what emotions come up, and I do think emotions are in the body, but that way she won't be blocked. See what happens.
Right, that makes sense to me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Let me know how that goes. And I'm available on the forum or by email, so you can find me.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so Julia, it couldn't be harder than that question.
No, it's actually not really a question, but it was more sort of more evidence for what Cindy was saying. Zemarek coached me earlier in the week, and what I started with, we ended up having to rejigger and search around and dig around quite a bit more to really get to what the problem was. And so I just thought it was sort of instructive. And also because she and I have worked together a lot, she sort of knew enough about me to sort of feel like, and through her own intuitive sense, like, that's not really it. We're not there mm-hmm. yet. And I thought it was really wise of her to keep coming back to that and questioning that and sort of having me reconsider what the premise of my issue was.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up being absolutely right. But I think, you know, sometimes someone who's being coached, there's resistance there. And I think sometimes, you know, sometimes that resistance can take the form of being distracted by one piece of it or sticking with one piece of it, even though that's not necessarily the heart of the matter or the most important part. And so we could have sat there and worked on that for a while, but wouldn't have gotten nearly as far, if that makes sense.
Now, there's a trick in that. Yes, I agree. And by the way, you noticed, and this is for everybody, you noticed that Cindy did a worksheet on her sister. So once we started to route it out and she started noodling around, she did another worksheet. The reason you do the worksheets is they're flypaper for the thoughts. And you're just trying to catch them all. And so if you start to find another one or another player involved in this case, since we're projecting onto other people, go ahead and do a whole other worksheet because there's probably a lot more there. So, and
right.
I don't know whether you did that or not, but that might be useful.
We sort of talked it through.
yeah. And so you still might want to see what's left, you know.
Yeah.
And by doing a worksheet. And I wanted to say that I realized that we could be giving the impression today that you have to find the right thought or the best thought, or like Cindy said, I drilled down and I found a thought that was more productive. That may, you know, that could be true, but that can also be an obstacle in the coaching. And there are times that I just take the first thing that comes up, and I've done that in my retreats, and I've heard Byron Katie do that. It's just like, just choose one thought, any thought, or the one in front of you, you know, because that anything can lead you to your freedom. So I don't want it, and it's great that, you know, in terms of what you're learning in this program, it's great that you're, you know, looking at different thoughts and finding them, but don't be too picky either. You know, I just realized when Cindy gave that example, you know, I don't always operate that way. And I may well have started with her first answer on the worksheet. I'm mad at blank because, and I might have taken that one. And sometimes I'll get a little ways down and I hear a little more and I'll go back and I'll say, how about we do this? You know, in fact, that's pretty frequent. It's like that first pass I get to, you know, get a little tighter in my framing of it, but sometimes just taking the first call, you know, the first one and working it all the way through is all that's needed. So to me, as a new coach, but also as an old coach or whatever, it has been great relief that if I get stuck or if I get, a lizard attack, I'll just take the next statement and then I'll just go through and read the question. And it's amazing to me how often this is freeing for the client without me being particularly skillful. So I just wanted to make that caveat. This work can hold it all, and you never know what's there for the client. I mean, we think we know and we do have a lot of insight, but there are so many times when I get to the turnaround, especially, that I'll think, that one couldn't possibly work. And they go, oh, my gosh, you know, because it's their insight that we're after. So it's kind of mysterious how it works, too. So, Anybody else?
Susan, this is Lisa. Can you hear me?
Hi. Uh-huh.
Hello.
Lisa.
Hi, yes. So I was just wondering, so what you're saying is that to not really be stuck on the semantics of that first phrase, you know, I'm finding myself trying to always find, you know, the right phrase to work with and maybe going back and changing it. But if I understood correctly, you're saying, you know, just run with it, maybe with the first thing that comes out.
Right. Now, you want it with a couple of thoughts attached to that or whatever.
Mm.
You don't say, I'm mad at him because. So the thought would not be, I'm mad at him because. It's the last part of the sentence. He messed around with my sister or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he betrayed me because. You take the last part. You also want to get what's called a one-liner in the world of the work, and so it needs to be short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need to reduce it to something doable, I don't know if you heard the list that I had from Cindy, but those were all, they might have been complex sentences at one time, but I break it down into small one-liners. The reason for that is it's easier for the mind to concentrate, and also the turnarounds are way easier, trust me, than if you get a complex sentence. It can just spin you like a dryer cycle or washes.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. And I'll just share an experience that I had with coaching somebody who's done a lot of work, not necessarily the type of work that we're doing, but who's very open, so that helps. And, you know, I was wondering, should I send her this work, judge your neighbor worksheet or not? And I said, yeah, you know what, I am. And I sent it like 20 minutes before our call, and she also was wondering what this was about, but sure enough, she had a situation from the day prior that she wanted to work through. And so even though I've been a little skeptic in general in this process, and she might have been as well. But to make a long story short, when we came to the turnaround, she had an incredible turnaround, like, you know, something she found it, you know, she totally found it herself and couldn't believe it. So I was, you know, I described to her my feelings because I was like a tingling all over my body. And so I was going to ask, is that okay to share how we feel with our potential clients as well? Because it was just like such a, I don't know how to say, it was just such an incredible finding for her, a revelation. So, you know, it just really affected me as well on the other side of the phone.
So what I would say about that, and I know that feeling, I have to tell you, I taught high school seniors for many years, a whole career, and I had that tingling every day, several times a day. I mean, I was goofed because you can see the mind open. It's like, oh, and the whole world is there. And that's exactly what happens. It's a similar thing one-on-one in doing this work. However, and it's so lovely, and I just had it then when you were talking. But I don't get in. When I do the work, I'm holding the space for the client to have all of their experiences. And if I want to give my opinion or experience, I might say, would you like to hear, and this would be, for instance, on turnarounds, or would you like to hear what came, you know, what I was thinking or what, you know, and then it's like an etiquette. Then they've invited me into their inquiry, into their work.
Yeah.
And then when we're done, I consider it like a package that kind of gets tied up. Then I go back to being a coach. So then, you know, it's like I'm a facilitator or something where I'm just holding it, you know, and asking the question. When we're done, I might go back and say, I wanted to share something that happened. When you said this thing, I had the most amazing goosebumps. And I just, you know, usually I use that as a, you know, whatever it is, a barometer of truth or whatever. So I just wanted to share that, and then they can take it or leave it. Otherwise, they're going to maybe be doing the work to get your approval or praise or something from you. So you want to stay out of it that way. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much. Thank you. Whereas when we're coaching each other within this cadet world, maybe it's in a way so much more relaxed and so much. I mean, we all know the language we're speaking, so is it more appropriate to be more open at that time, or should we just practice this?
I think you should just practice it with that space, that professional space, and then you can go back and debrief it and do a little, you know, whatever, process what you experience. But for the very same reason, you know, I would want to give my colleague the opportunity to have their own experience as separate from the training in their own work. Does that make sense? It's like then you can go to the meta level afterwards. And if I'm working with coaches who want to be mentored, I mentor one-on-one, but I will do, you know, I'll just do the work and I'll take notes, and then when we're done, I'll say, so let's talk about the meta level. Did you notice when because it's so hard, this work is so deep, sometimes you don't, like, the reason you repeat this, and by the way, if I didn't say it last week, you repeat this one-liner frequently because it's like repelling. You're going into your mind, and you might easily forget what the statement is. And so you want to let them, like, hold the rope for them. Belay, isn't that what it's called? Mm-hmm. When you're, you know, I'm not a rock climber, but that's really your job. So they can really go deep and find out what's true and with the turnarounds and so forth. Just really stay out of it. Then you get to do all this commenting and debriefing later.
Yeah.
I think it would be more productive because that's how we do it in coaching too. So with a client, for instance, I'll say, I'd just like to do the work now. And then they might want to chat some more, and I'll say, let's just let the work, and it's by answering these questions, and then I'll get back to you on that. And so I kind of put a little soft wall around it. So we have now begun the work, and then you just answer the questions as they come up, and then I get back to coaching later. So it may be only 20 minutes or even 10 minutes of a session. You know, we're doing all kinds of other tools too, but once I start in the process of inquiry, and my clients know this, it allows their mind to settle, and I stay out of it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. See how it works. I mean, we're all in experimenting here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure, speaking of that, that we get a chance to coach today, that, you know, this is a practicum. I did want to say one other thing in case I forget it later, that some simple ways to do this are, if you have a busy season ahead of you, is it true? You notice it. You look at the situation. And another thing you can do is there's something called the yellow card at thework.com, and it's basically just the questions, which you could write down or type, whatever, for people. Hand that to a kid. Or to want and say, would you, or your spouse or sister or whatever, and just say, would you ask me these questions? I'm working on this for coaching. And give them a one-liner, and then just have them ask you, is it true? Can you absolutely know it's true? And just having somebody read those back to you, and then you do your work. That counts, by the way, for homework when you're supposed to do three people. In my mind, nobody's tracking it, but you. So that's another way. And there's also a good book for kids on the work, and I think for teens too. You'd have to look on the side, but I think I heard some rumblings about that. And the kids one is really good, and it works really well with young kids because they totally get this. It's like so obvious to them. Like, you grown-ups are just thinking about this. They completely get it, usually. So you might want to play around with it in different, kind of, especially because we tend to be around friends and family and people from different worlds, you know, at this time of year. You might want to play with that. Okay, are there any other questions? And did I answer them, or situations that came up? And did I answer those in a way that was understandable?
This is Jennifer. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer.
I just had one sort of question, because I feel like in terms of developing the statements, do you have any other suggestions for the one-liners, for the limiting beliefs that we can, you know, just any other wisdom you can share with us? Because I feel like we haven't really, I think the last class we had, everybody's was good, so we didn't really talk about that part. So I'm just curious if you had anything else.
Actually, I was going to do that now. I was going to have people read one of their statements, and we were going to put them into one-liners.
Oh, fantastic. So
can you truthfully say that I didn't plant you today to do that, to ask that question?
No, I think we're just all afraid. I did want to say one thing about when I was practicing. when I went to the Power Hour, I had the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet, but when I was coaching with one of the cadets, I actually did the dream analysis first, and then she came up with a painful belief, and then we did the work, and I thought that was really interesting because I'm just starting to learn the dream analysis, so I wasn't sure how it was going to go, and it was interesting how it just sort of led us into doing the work. So I just wanted to say
that. Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, that can be really interesting work. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong. You could have the work with a dream character. You know, I don't know why not. In fact, I've always, you know, the Byron Katie people, there's an institute for the work, and it's been very structured and very tightly structured till now or till recently. And I noticed at a silent retreat last summer that Katie was saying, why don't you do the work on a dream? So it's really opening. And then she looks at the camera. This was on an online class. And she says, and don't tell the people at the Institute for the Work that I said that. Oh, gosh. And by the way, I am going to an event with certified facilitators on the 1st of January, so I will have been updated and have some new ideas. I try to stay really close in because there's so many people in the program that are using it, in Martha's program. So I'll be back on the 5th, and then I'll be all fresh when we meet next time. So I'd like to hear your Judge Your Neighbor worksheets. I'd like you to pull it out and look it over and find one that seems like, as you look at it today, that seems to just jump out at you. Sometimes it looks like it's lit with neon, and sometimes it's just the first one. I've had people just close their eyes and let their pen land on the page and choose that one. So either way. And then, so what I'll do is maybe each of you can say your one-liner. We'll make sure that it's really framed up so that that we can work with it. And by the way, I noticed it was in the forum for Group F, but people are asking, can I do it on myself? When can I do it on myself? When can I do it on myself? We'll address that later. It would be good if you can find it to be about somebody else now. It's the neighbor, you know, worksheet. And sometimes I don't use the word limiting beliefs so much because people tend to think that it's limiting beliefs about themselves. And so I was using the word one-liner on purpose. And we can talk about what to do about beliefs about yourself at the end of the class if you remind me. So bring it on. What you got? Simone, can you hear me? Or I now unmuted you. So are you there? I'm echoing. All right, well, we'll come back. Zamerit, are you still on?
I am, but I didn't actually fill it out.
That's okay. You're the worst person to call on. You can just...
It's okay.
That's where my pen landed.
It's no problem.
Okay. All right, so... Donna. Do you have one? Huh. Oh, Donna's muted. Donna? If you could unmute, we'll catch you. We'll catch you in a minute. Julia?
Yes, yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi.
Scott.
Yeah, I do. I have one. I'm reluctantly.
You mean we're going to find out if you're less than perfect?
No, I know you know that, but like I just it's really yucky and it's totally holiday driven. I am angry with my brother because he doesn't care about us.
Perfect. Oh, that sounds like the perfect thought.
Yeah.
Okay, and do you have a specific situation?
Well, it's a repeated situation, so we're coming up for around 85, right?
Mm-hmm.
He at the holidays, we sort of we get this very limited allotment of time, and he sort of breezes in and breezes out, and it seems to be at the mercy of lots of other forces, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And every year I think I'm not going to let it bother me. You know, like, we know he always does this, blah, 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 blah. But it does, but I do.
Oh, cool. You would be the perfect victim, but I see that you have been a client before, and I want to give somebody else a chance, but that would be a really good one to work.
So I'll save it.
I'll invite you to step up if we don't have somebody else. There's a double rainbow.
Okay.
All
right.
So you may be we may read that as an endorsement. Okay. And Donna, I didn't hear anything from you earlier. Do you have one?
I am the one that's been on the cruise and out of
touch. That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, got it. All right. Did you have anything on the cruise, though?
No, I could say that immediately popping back into, well, actually, so my father has cruised 15 times, and the cruise was relaxing, but it also felt very gluttonous in that I was just watching everyone consume lots of alcohol, lots of food, lots of entertainment, and it seemed a bit shallow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is perfect. In fact, I was just going to say, have you done a worksheet on the people on the cruise?
No. I like I said, I didn't take any of my homework. I had no access to do anything. But as I looked around, you know, it made me wonder about me, you know, being there. But I told my husband, I said, this was fine, but I would like to do something in the future that is a little, I want to go relax, but I also want to give our money into something. And so we were talking to someone who went to Africa, but they went there to help rescue elephants, and they because the parents were being killed off for the ivory, so they're giving money to raise a baby elephant, and then they went on vacation to go see their baby elephant that they had rescued.
Isn't that great?
And I thought, now that is more me, a vacation where you're traveling, you're experiencing other cultures, other ways of thinking and being, but you're giving back. It's not all me, 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 me. How much can I eat? How much can I spend? How much can I numb out? And so I came home with some new ideas about how I want to vacation after this last time.
Right. So, you know, the reason I brought the people on the cruise, I mean, it's notice that they led you to a freedom of a sort. If you didn't have all of those thoughts, you wouldn't have gotten where you are, you know, with this other way. Right.
Yeah. I was judging. I was just amazed at people's. For example, there was somebody who I was just watching them have breakfast, and they got four different huge plates. They ate maybe an eighth off of each one, and then got another one and ate an eighth, and they left these four plates of food that was going to be thrown away. And I just thought that just sort of shocked me. And of course, you know, yes, the islands were beautiful, but there was such a shocking distinction between the poverty of the people that lived on the islands and the excess of the tourists that went to visit. And that bothered me. That really bothered me. I was uncomfortable, and so I even bought things from the people to give them money that I'm going to throw in the trash because I don't want these things. I just wanted them to have the money. And
so kind. Now, let me just interrupt to say, you sounds to me like you came to that in, through a different means, but in doing the work, with a worksheet or whatever, the traditional way, it could have easily turned out that you would have come to the same conclusions, and sometimes it's faster, and it's, you know, because, and here's how it might look. They're so gluttonous. You know, and then you get to the turnarounds and you may get to yourself. And then you might, I'm just saying how this could work. And then you might notice where you take more than you need. And then you might decide for your living the turnaround, which is the last part of this work, and it's really good for coaching. You may have decided, I want to give. So you see how that works?
Yeah. And also, what was interesting, though, is on the cruise when I did find out, when I did watch people, you know, drinking a lot or eating a lot or just I started thinking about the course and thinking about, well, I wonder what they are running from. I wonder what is, you know, there's obviously things that they're trying to numb out, and the overeating or the overdrinking is the decoys of what's really going on in their heart. So
you were living your coaching practice while you were on the trip.
Oh, yeah. Like me. We all have places to go to get out of pain and to get comfortable, and vacations seem to be an excess of our everyday distraction of running from whatever emotion or difficulty that we're struggling with.
Right. So, and I guess because I'm teaching this particular part of the practicum, I'm just saying, yeah, observation is really fabulous. And if you can catch yourself judging, that's great. And I know I couldn't probably even go on a cruise without judging half the time. And then I would get to do the work. And then I'd find out something else. And that's all I'm saying. It's just to fit it into the practicum. And I hear that you're, to me, witnessing is being a good observer is the key to being a good coach. So congratulations and welcome back.
Well, thanks. It's nice to meet you today.
Oh, good. Melissa, your talk. No, you didn't. You talked earlier. Do you have one?
Okay, I'm here. I had to unmute. I do have one, and it is, I wish my aunt would not be so negative and would be truthful with her family.
Okay, so can you boil that down? If you were going to make it into a one-liner, what would it be? Or more than one?
I wish she was a different person. No, I'm kidding.
That's okay. You know, and I keep trying to point this out to people. Just be as petty as you want, you know. Of course, you could wish she's a different person. That may or may not take you where you want to go, but I didn't hear you say that to begin with. What were the two things? I think you said two things about her.
Yeah, that she's so critical. I guess it would be that I wish she would air the issues she has with the people she has them with instead of everybody else.
Ooh, okay. She should talk to people directly then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's beautiful. You've got three that just off the bat would be really good one-liners. The first was she's negative. I want to make sure everybody heard this. And by the way, I hope you're taking notes. What was the other one, somebody? Did you catch it? Okay, she's not truthful. Did notice that she said, I wish my aunt wouldn't be so critical or negative, and she'd be more truthful. Both of those are thoughts. And so when you're really breaking it down to a one-liner, and I'm not even sure you said truthful. What did you say?
I did say truthful.
Truthful, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then it might be with the people around her. And then as we talked, she should talk to people more directly. So all of those would be a really good place to start or to get deeper. Excellent. Thank you, Melissa. Okay, Cindy, tell me if I'm wrong. Do you have a one-liner?
I do. I am annoyed with Barbara because she made the decision about gift exchanging.
Okay, perfect. So she made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow, that's a good one. About the gift exchange. And we'll just know that that's the circumstance.
The circumstance, do you need to know the circumstance? The circumstance is that we've all lived in the same neighborhood for 28 years. And for probably 25 of those years, I've always baked copious amounts of cookies and giving them to my neighbors. And I've never, it never has had anything to do with receiving anything in return. I don't even consider them a gift. But they all exchange gifts. And subsequently, we're also the recipients of those things. And I have no problem with, you know, that decision, except that it also included me. And I don't want anything in return, but I should be able to give people whatever the hell I want to. So,
okay.
That's
excellent. If we don't get to it today, I'm hoping that you'll get to work on this and see what happens. And of course, you know, I notice when I'm working with clients, I'm like, yeah, right on, girl, you know, to everything you're saying. And yet when we do the work, something else surprising can turn up. So that would be an interesting one to work with. Okay. As you slow it.
Okay.
Excellent. Jennifer.
So I have a Judge Your Neighbor worksheet filled out. And I think the one that's most popping at me is Todd should show more compassion.
Good. And do you have a situation?
Yes. His son has been diagnosed with anxiety and depression and just started, he's probably suffered from it for a long time, but it's been sort of obvious the last year. So I'd say about 3 years he's been probably suffering from it, but, you know, the high alert was a year ago, and probably 2 months ago he was put on medication. So he's very anxious and very depressed. And Todd and he were discussing a class. He's in college, should have mentioned that. And he has a class that he just didn't finish his final paper for, and he was late. And then he finished half the paper and sent a note to the professor and said, hey, is it better for me to give you this paper, which he did half finished, or do you want me to finish it and I'll give it to you tomorrow? And so he did that and then sort of just didn't do anything else about it. And Todd started basically going at him, even though the therapist told us that we shouldn't be giving him any advice. And so how is pushing him on his paper and telling him that, you know, he's disappointed in him because he didn't finish the paper, how is that helping his anxiety and depression is kind of the gist of what my Judge Your Neighbor
was. Right. Yeah, that's a tough one. And I would invite you, even if you don't do it today, to get work on it, you know, to do it anyway. Todd should show more compassion and see what shows up. It's usually, it's the underbelly of things that we might not have caught. Okay? Yep. And that's a really good example. But again, everybody notice how we're going to go right in there and totally agree with Jennifer. I do. I'd like to find this Todd and give him a piece of my mind, you know? But really, what the work is to look at anything that she, for her to be able to look at anything she hasn't noticed about it,
mm-hmm.
which is very different. Okay? Mm. Excellent. Okay, Lisa.
Sorry, I was on mute. Here I am. okay, my phrase would be, I am annoyed with Alessia, that's my daughter, because she is so oppositional.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now this one, so I'm going to, let's see, have you been both a coach and a client? It's almost like everybody that's talking already has a lot of experience, but and that's great, but she's oppositional.
Mm-hmm.
She's so oppositional. She's oppositional. And you have a situation.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. I mean, every day, but I can, yeah.
Okay. So that would be a really good one. Gosh, every one of you, I want to work with you. So, but we're not about that. And that would be a really good one to work with if we don't get to it today, and we may. Now, there's one person I didn't call. Well, Simone, I've called on, and I'm not getting a response. Simone, if you're hearing me, please respond. And there's somebody else that's currently muted, and I don't have your name. So who didn't get called on?
Hi, it's Karen.
Oh, hi, Karen.
Hi, I was. I had to be muted before, but I'm in a quiet place now, so this is good timing. I've been listening, though.
Great.
So mine is that my sister-in-law should not be so self-centered.
Okay. And you've got a situation. You don't have to tell me.
Yes.
I think you're going to get coached.
Yeah.
Would you prefer to coach or be coached today, Karen?
Well, considering we just had this big dinner with the said sister-in-law, I crave some coaching right now.
Perfect. We've got a client. So we've got a guinea pig. So who would like to coach? You know, from that group, it seems if I just called on you and you haven't already coached, would you identify yourself? Okay, so who would like to coach her then from that group? Because all of you have, that would mean. Jody, you're not on, right? Okay. But maybe you're listening. Hi. So who would like to coach Karen? I just think somebody's chomping at the bit.
This is Cindy. I'll do it if nobody else wants to do it. I just feel like I spoke a lot today.
It appears to me that you're the coach, Cindy. And you didn't coach last time, did you?
No, I haven't coached in the...
I just want to make
yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
You're the one. All right.
Okay.
I'd like you to just get going, and I'm, you know how this works.
Right.
We've got Cindy and Karen has a one-liner. And by the way, everybody, I'm going to let them do their duo, and then I'm probably going to set up another duo because I want to make sure I'd love to have a chance to get through two of them. After all that conversation, you know, people have to flex their muscles and try it out. So, we'll, Cindy, I'll let you know when it's been 10 minutes. And
okay.
You going.
Okay.
Cindy, Karen.
Hi. Okay, Karen.
Cindy.
Hi. Can you state your one-liner again or what your first?
Yes, it was my sister-in-law, Rebecca, should not be so self-centered.
Okay. And in this situation, how would you like Rebecca to change?
I would like her to think about other people's needs, my own, my mother's, my brother's, other people in the family.
Okay. All right. And in this situation, what would you tell Rebecca? What kind of advice would you give her?
Hope, Cindy?
Yes.
Just have her, see if you can get her honed in on the situation without getting into story fondling. So take her where she was last night. You know,
okay.
The thing is happening. She's having the thought
okay.
so that she can get
sure.
back into that frame. Okay?
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to rush you.
No, thank you. Yep. Can you, did you have dinner with your sister last night?
Yes, and that is really helpful because I was kind of stuck on how to answer you without the context that is just
sure.
a little example of the kind of thing that repeats often, and so
okay.
I would love to figure this out. But
sure.
basically, I'll tell you about dinner in a quick second.
Sure.
But the pattern is she's been in our lives about 4 years and is really a lovely person. You know, and I'm really happy for my brother. There's like no real crisis or conflict. But literally from the first time we met her, this has been a very interesting pattern where, so she comes into the family. We're a very large family, you know, and there's always a lot going on. And the most
mm-hmm.
interesting thing that happened from the very first time was we were in the middle of a family event or party or something. And she kind of stopped the action and said, and I don't remember the specifics of that time, but said something like, we need to move the tables around or something because I don't like the way they are. So that was kind of her introduction to the family. And so we all moved around to accommodate that. And then there have been so many other situations I won't tell you about where it's that same pattern of everything needs to change for me so that I accept things that the way I want them. And so that was so interesting is that we can't be together on the holidays, so we got together last night instead. And over email, my mother and a couple of other folks and she and I were discussing the menu. And somebody raised a dish that they wanted that was their favorite dish and it contained sour cream. And there were other things on the menu. And the sister-in-law said, I don't eat sour cream, so let's not do that one. And then the other person wrote back and said, but that's my favorite dish, so why don't we have that? And it went on like that, but it became this very elaborate set of email exchanges all about changing the menu for this one piece, which is this one person doesn't like sour cream. And I don't know, for whatever reason, after all these years, that something in me kind of snapped and I just got so annoyed and I felt like, why is she so self-centered that she can't see that there are other people involved and that sometimes she should graciously accommodate to the situation? So, Cindy,
okay.
That's the story.
Okay. When you had this moment, did this feeling happen to you while you were sitting at your computer?
Yeah.
When this email conversation. Okay.
And, yes.
Okay. Can you go back there for a minute? Can you put
yeah.
yourself in that spot when this was happening?
I sure can.
Okay. Breathe into being in that space. And when you're there, start to notice when this response is happening, what's happening in your body?
Mm-hmm. I, you know, my blood pressure is rising. My heart's beating a little faster. My stomach is starting to twist in a little knot. I'm basically feeling what I identify as my kind of anger center.
Okay. All right. Now, being in that space right now, in that feeling in your body,
mm-hmm.
What would you tell Barbara? I mean, I'm sorry. What would you tell
Rebecca? I'm I guess I want to say something like, which was part of the email, we have organized a number of different options for people. So we have taken different needs into account.
Okay.
So let's things. Okay. So I would like you, Rebecca, to just, you know, just go along with the what the whole group wants.
Okay. And if you weren't being politically correct.
Cindy?
Yeah,
let's talk. I've got my coffee here for talk. So what are you thinking?
What I'm thinking is that I'd really like her to say what she feels and what she thinks and whether, you know what I mean, and not be the veneer of being polite, get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So
and,
you think that she's being too polite. Can I give you,
yes, please.
I heard a thought early on. It went really fast.
Okay.
And I think maybe you don't need to do a lot more prying.
Okay.
She can't see there are other people involved.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you hear that?
Yep.
Right. So that might be a good one to look at. Just because of lack of time, it went really
okay.
fast. But I think that it could be really interesting to see what happens. So you can get practice doing the work. Why don't you just use that one and then
okay.
And do the four questions and
okay.
We'll see how far it goes.
Okay, Karen.
Yes.
Does that work for you using that phrase? She can't see that other people are involved?
Yes, that's good.
Okay. All right. So let's go to the four questions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is it true that Rebecca can't see that there are other people involved?
I guess not. I mean, she's aware because we're involved in a conversation.
Cindy?
Yes, it needs
this
to be yes
great,
or no. Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah, it needs to be yes or no. Either she can see or she can't see.
And that's because you're asking her mind to land and it's just, you know, find that internally.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Well, yes.
Okay, so she can't see that there are other people involved. Okay, can you absolutely know that that's true, that Rebecca can't see that there are other people in the situation?
No, I realize that. I can't know that's true.
Okay, so how do you react, or what happens in your body? When you believe this thought that she can't see anybody else or whatever
yeah.
anybody else might need.
Yep, it's what happened before. I get super mad.
Okay.
You know, it feels like, and me in particular, we inherit the work, you know, of trying to solve the problems when she doesn't consider other people.
Okay. And can you think of a stress-free reason to keep this thought?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So who would you be without this thought?
Oh my goodness, I'd be a lot happier, I think.
Okay. Okay. So
you know, Susan, anyone, the part that I'm confused about now in this process is when I imagine not having the thought and I realize it would be just easier, you know, to not presume that and then work with the situation. I don't know what it means operationally. Like because this type of thing.
Hey, can we put a pause here? Can we put a pause here?
Yes.
So here's a choice point. And Cindy, you're doing great.
And I love how authentic this is. So if it's okay, I'd like to continue with this one.
Sure.
And so, and rather, it has been 10 minutes. And so we are going to continue. And I might, well, let's just see what evolves. Because I feel if everybody's really listening and paying attention, this is such a good example. So, Cindy, one thing you might do in this, who she's getting going a little fast here because she's trying to get to the turnaround and then how to live the turnaround. And really, at this moment, it's a moment in time that she can imagine herself in this situation, possibly, or she can't. If she can't, that's fine. Who would you be in that situation if you just couldn't have that thought and just see if she can find it and then move into the turnaround? She's trying to kind of move a little fast again. That's what I hear.
Mm.
Yeah, and we can talk to you about this later. Okay, Karen?
Okay.
All right.
So do you want to take a moment, Karen, and go back to that moment? Can you bring yourself
mm-hmm.
back there?
Okay.
So take a moment and be back in that in front of the computer with the email. And
mm-hmm.
Rebecca's email comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation starts to develop, the back and forth with everybody saying
mm-hmm.
whatever it is they're trying to say. Okay. And can you start to feel that in your body?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who would you be without the thought that Rebecca can't see there are other people involved at that moment?
Yeah, I'd be able to just respond to what she actually said. I can't eat sour cream, and I would be more creative. I'd be able to say, well, okay, here's some other ways we can do this.
Okay. All right. Would you like to, if that was the case, what happens to your body when you think about dealing with it without that thought?
Yeah, it's very, I can feel it even now. As I said, being creative, I could feel the little knot in the place that I usually have it just start to unwind.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's try some of the turnarounds, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's try the opposite first, okay?
Yeah. Okay, I already forgot. The statement was she
can't
see that other are involved.
Other, correct.
So the opposite is she can see.
Yeah.
That other people
are
involved.
Mm-hmm. Does that ring true to you?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to add that, you know, in the context of a whole relationship with someone, there are so many other times I see her being sensitive and thoughtful to
okay, that's
yeah.
fine. But in this situation, in this moment,
yeah,
can she see that other people are involved?
Yes, definitely, because of the exchange.
Okay. Okay. And can you give three statements to support that? Three examples?
Yes. So, as you know, of the discussion, she definitely talked about how to make two versions of the recipe to preserve the one that everyone liked,
okay.
and one that she could eat.
Okay.
Gosh, do you mean from the exact situation?
Yeah, I think whatever statement would support she can't see that other people are involved.
Right, but now we're looking for statements to support the opposite, right? That
correct.
She can,
or she can
see that other
see.
People.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I I think there was one email in particular to my mom that, since it's my mother's recipe, I don't remember the details, but the gesture, what I took from that is her acknowledgement that that recipe might have meant something to my mom. So like an acknowledgement of, this sounds like a great thing that you do.
Okay.
I can't think of a third one right now. There were a lot of emails, but the gist was definitely there that she was not just saying, this has to be my way or the highway. She was bringing it up, you know, like, I would like this to fit with what I want, but there were definitely these other moments of the exchange of, you know, I see that other people have needs and expectations too.
Okay. All right. Let's try one of the other turnarounds. Let's try the other. To the other.
Can't see the other. I get very confused with this other one. Can you help me turn it around?
I think. Well, what about, how does I can't see that.
Okay, Cindy. First of all, just repeat the statement a lot, and then because it is a way that she's getting lost. So the original statement was.
Right.
She can't see. You just did. You can see. So she can't.
Right.
Other people can't see that she's involved or something.
Right. Right.
Right.
So if she can't see that other people are involved, and then we just did, she can see that other people are involved. So the other would be that. The other would be that I don't see that other people are involved.
So, okay, here's the deal. And you all, this is the hardest thing for people. Bar none. We go over this all the time, and it's still so hard to do. There is.
Would it be always, I'm sorry.
There isn't always another. You just did turn around itself. So everybody, write it down if you need to. She can't see there are other people involved. With other, what you do is switch it. So other people can't see that she's involved. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Switch the subject and the object.
Okay.
And I guess the English teacher in me is coming out. But to me, that's a really good way to describe it because it's just very succinct. You switch the front of the sentence from the back of the sentence. Right.
Okay.
Can you see that?
So that's for the other. And if it was itself, okay, would it be, I can't see that other people are involved, or I can't see that Rebecca is involved?
Well, then you can get, let's just do one at a time. So let's just do, and everybody, I hope you're hanging in here because this really is a good example. So let's just do the other, and then we'll do self in a minute. Okay?
Okay. Okay. You there, Karen?
Yeah, I got it. Other people can't see that Rebecca's involved.
Yeah. How does that fit?
And Cindy, one way, good way, you have a very natural way. I can tell you've done this, as I said before. But one good way to do that is, can you think of some examples? It's just really easy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you think of some examples that other people can't see that Rebecca is involved?
Yes. And I mean, right off the bat, I can already think of how with myself in the situation that, you know, I don't think any of us in that exchange were really thinking about how this is her Christmas holiday as well. And so being that she's an addition to our family, there might be all kinds of things that she would like to bring to the table. Literally, in the case of the there might be all kinds of things, and we don't even know what those are, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Good.
That's
one. Yeah.
Excellent. Very good.
And I won't take the examples, but now that we're on the turnaround with all the prior examples that led to my frustration in this moment, I can think of many ways that this turnaround was true in all those other examples.
Okay. Good.
And just because of that, let's just go to the next turnaround because of time.
Yep.
And I want, I'd like to get through the whole thing.
Okay. So now we go to the self.
Mm-hmm. So this would be that I can't see that other people are involved? Or I?
Yes. Or I can't see that Rebecca is involved.
Cindy, just stay with the one close in.
Right. Sure. Okay. I can't see that other people are involved. Does that? How does that feel to you?
Oh boy, I think we've hit it, which is where I think that I was very self-centered in my whole reaction to this thing. I wanted that chicken with sour cream, my mom's best recipe. Yes, it's definitely true in this instance and in too many others to name that I know it's true sometimes that I can't see that other people are involved.
Okay.
I think it's, you know, it's my problem or it's her problem, and I'm not looking at all of the dimensions of it. And in this case, all of these other people were involved. And in my mind, it kind of went to a thing between me and her. And I, now that we're talking about this, I don't even know how the other people were reacting or responding. But there were many people involved. I didn't really think about that. I was very focused on her and the things about her that annoy me, which is that she seems self-centered, but it turns out that I'm quite self-centered.
So, excuse me 1 minute, coffee talk. Would it be appropriate to ask her about her business, Susan?
If that's what came up for you, let's see what her answer
it,
is.
It
and
is,
I do
want
to do the, I want, yeah, go on, and then we'll do something
okay,
else.
So whose business is it when you think that Rebecca doesn't know that other people are involved?
It's her business. It's not my business.
Okay. Very good.
Okay, so let me... Oh, that was fabulous. We'll call time. And I would really like to hear from everybody. Let me just... because it's the moment, the teachable moment, let me just say we'll get over this. We'll be working on this next time, and we'll also work on the turnarounds a lot more because that's the real confusing part. And thank you for leading the charge, Cindy. The next piece is what I love to, as a dismount and as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
So the next question would be, What will you do now that you have that information, or how will you do this, you know, next week, for instance, with that sister-in-law now that you've done the turnarounds or whatever? If the turnarounds were as true or truer, how would that change your action?
Right.
And you don't have to answer it, Karen, but that would be a really good
question. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, right away I can just say that I'll be much more clear about the – I mean, the work is very new to me, so I didn't have this framework before, but the clarification of the my business part, this has brought me right to that, you know, and I wasn't seeing that separation at all before or not much before.
Oh, you're the best guinea pig ever. And living the turnaround is what we call it. It's like, how would you live this now that you understand, you know, now that we've done this? So, and because of time, we won't go into a lot of detail. So comments on Cindy's facilitation, people.
Oh, my God, she was fantastic. I can't believe how her manner was so calming to me. Like, just she really helped me stop and think and put myself in the place. But also the way she was asking the questions, I didn't feel like she was practicing. I feel like she kind of already knows how to do this very well.
Thank you.
Cindy, was that
yes.
true?
Is that true? Is that what she said?
Mm-hmm, that you already know how to do it very well?
I don't know if I know how to do it very well, but I'm not uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm. Have you practiced quite a bit?
Yes. I'm very fortunate. Mm-hmm. I've practiced with a lot of people.
So I just wanted you to claim that because that's great. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
And I want everybody on the call to know this is not a newbie.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to sound like Cindy. Just trust me. And actually, in the 9-day school, when Katie's modeling this, she'll have that little paper out and she'll say, delete it in front of her face. Is it true?
Yeah.
That's how you learn it. Now, Cindy's been practicing. It's very clear. So I just want to make sure people understand that it may look very awkward when you're doing it, and you don't have to be all slick, you know, and practice. Like, you know, Cindy's already done this. Okay? And Cindy, you do make it very natural. You know, it's clear to me by listening to you that you aren't a newbie, you know, that you have practiced it.
Yeah, well, I have to work with really great people, too. Yeah.
That's wonderful. So, Karen, I was really interested in your experience of being asked these questions as somebody who's not very familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, initially this feeling comes up where I want to be stubborn, you know. I want to argue and say, well, can you know that's true? And I want to say yes. You know, I do know it's true. I've been living with it for 4 years. So it was like that. I was very reactionary, you know, internally to not finding it easy. But then when I had the first moment of, like, going there, it was like I could almost feel, well, I guess like Martha talked about in the video, but I never thought about it till now, I can almost feel something sparking in my brain where it's kind of electric. Like once I had the first thought of literally seeing how the turnaround could be true, which I would not admit before, then the subsequent ones got kind of exciting. And that's when that feeling really lifted out of my body. Like it got to be like much more curious and this is cool. How could this be true? And the most interesting thing for me was that when we got to the part where I realized this is really about me and how I didn't really consider her at all in the situation because I just had my story. Normally what I would feel is this immediate sense of shame, like that is such a terrible thing that you did. And the feeling of just being so interested in the work, like, oh my gosh, that is what happened. I feel that. I felt more like, thank God you figured that out.
That's
happy instead of bad, which is what I normally would do right away, is be like, oh, you've been so self-centered. So
that's the feeling of the ego falling away.
Yeah.
And I could experience that in listening. That's why I didn't stop it, because I really think this is a great thing for everybody to listen to on the call. You listen to it again. It's like at first she wants to, you know, we don't want to say we've been like that, but the reality, because, you know, we'll shame ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is it's so freeing, because then you're in your business and you can do something about you. I mean, you can make a different choice. You can't change her, but you can make a difference. And it's so liberating, and that's exactly what I heard in your voice and your explanation. And thank you.
Yeah, the metaphor that's coming to me is like I got the ego's equivalent of a haircut. You know, when you get a lot of haircut, you suddenly feel like you're turning your head right and left. You're light and flippy and free. I'm like, whew, I just got rid of about 15 pounds of baggage.
And you may have a different sister-in-law.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
She's really sweet.
Serious.
I love her.
I just had another one
too.
Okay. So I'd like to hear from the rest of the group. This was such a powerful duo that I just want to hear what other people noticed and questions. And thank you both so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hi. This is Lisa.
Wow.
This is
I heard Lisa first, and so we'll go with Lisa.
Okay. First of all, I have the pleasure of working with Cindy, and I don't know how much practice she has or not, but she is truly a natural. So I'm just a big fan, and so I just wanted to let you know. But I went through. I was so resistant at the beginning. I'm thinking, you know, and I'm just going to be very petty and open. I'm thinking to myself, what is this woman? Why can't she just, you know, eat everything else and just go with the one plate that has the sour cream? You know, I'm just going to be, this is my Italian self coming out. And I'm like, why are we even talking about this, right? I mean, she just can go on and just eat everything else. But...
that was me for 4 years. This is how
I've been reacting to everything. So, this is where, as a coach, you kind of have to really hold it in, and Cindy held it in. I don't know what she was feeling, but I mean, that was going to be my reaction of saying, "Gosh, you're right," you know. But so the turnaround that came was, I couldn't believe it. And the fact, it really struck home when you said that you didn't have a feeling of shame, and that I think is really, I mean, that's what I took from this whole exercise. So thank you. That's the ego. I'm glad I didn't just turn the phone off and but it was fascinating to see how this all came together.
Yeah, isn't it? I mean, it kind of requires some patience, but it's like a deck of cards that starts to kind of, you know, you pull one card out. That's what I was experiencing anyway as I was listening, Karen. So let's hear from somebody else.
This is Jennifer.
And it is, we will be folding up the call in about 5 minutes. But Jennifer, yes.
Hi. I also am a big fan of Cindy. Work with her as well. And
event club.
The one thing I thought was interesting is that she, even though there was already a limiting belief, she went to the worksheet because she felt in her body, is my guess, that wasn't the right statement and that there was something more because she was being too polite. And so I thought that was interesting because that she really trusts her body in that. And the other thing is that she kept her in the moment. Even when she tried to go to examples that were outside of the moment, she kept bringing that back. And I thought that was, for me, that was a learning opportunity because when I'm practicing, I take examples from wherever I can get them. But I liked that she kept her to that particular instance. And then also the other I was very confused about. I don't think I was doing it correctly, so I really appreciate that clarity on how to turn it together.
Thank you. There was something you said I wanted to make a comment about, and I guess it just left. So never mind. But yes, Cindy. Oh, I think it was around the beginning. Cindy and Natale, and when I came in and interfered there. That was because, you know, sometimes it's quite simple. And I just wanted you to grab one and go.
Right.
You noticed? And actually, that was really a powerful one-liner.
Was. Yeah.
So sometimes it's right in front of your nose. And if you go, if you belabor it too much, and that's what we talked about at the beginning of the call. I happen to have done some poking around with you. But what you'll notice, and everybody will as you practice this more, is that you'll have, you know, some kind of intuition through experience that's honed, where you can have one that's about to bite your nose off and you can actually use it instead of looking further.
So you could just start with the statement and not use any of the subsequent information on the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's, like I said, when sometimes on these
on retreats or sometimes when I'm working and training people more deeply, I have them close their eyes and point to one, and then we just do that one. Because the work does its work, and then you just ask the questions, and it doesn't have to be too complicated. Yes, somebody asked me something.
It was Jennifer. Did I read somewhere that you could actually do the work on every single statement on the Judge or Neighbor worksheet?
Oh, yes. You'll have 13 different thoughts on one worksheet.
Okay.
But what will happen is, if you, and I have done, and that's part of my training, that's part of the training in this, and I've done every one, but what will happen, you'll notice, is that it's like the house of cards. The first one you'll be committed to, and then you start looking at the other ones, and they might appear a little ridiculous. And I don't know, Karen, if you did a whole worksheet, but you might look at them. After you've done even one, suddenly it shifts already, mm-hmm. and then maybe you'll do another one, and then maybe you'll be done.
Mm-hmm.
So, you get to experience that freedom however you do. Wow. Well, I had a different intention today, but, I think this is usually I'm really driven to get at least two duos in, but it feels to me like this was so in the spirit of the work, in that it can be very slow and really deep. And if we just try to make it too fast, and you can do it. Like I like Carrie's simplified version of the work on your audio. That can be fine too. But to really get the work, to sink into it like you two did, what a gift to your whole class. And by the way, I didn't remember what the thought was. It was that that I stay really close into the situation and I milk it for all it's worth like Cindy did. But then sometimes they'll come up with another example from another situation. I totally accept it. But I actually ask and I don't know that I'm right here. I'm just saying what I experienced. At least the first one and should be in the situation. And then if their mind comes up with other ones, I mean, it's their mind, right?
Yeah.
So I don't stick real close to that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, that was really fun. thank you all. Are there any other questions?
Hi, this is Donna.
Hi.
I just have a quick comment. And the reason I love the turnaround is when Karen got to turnaround number two, the turnaround was other people can't see that she's involved.
Mm-hmm.
And basically she's talking about an in-law and
mm-hmm.
it's the holiday time and this person is trying to become a part of a completely different family. And I think when there's all kinds of emails going back and forth, there's a lot of pre-established relationships, and this person may not know exactly the rules or the culture or how to integrate. And so for me, the last part is, so how does this change your actions?
Mm-hmm.
Turnaround number two of other people can't see that she's involved. I have a very tight-knit, gossipy family, and they don't let the people that are marrying in very quickly. And so I think for me, if I had experienced that turnaround, then when I'm discussing this married in-law person, it helps me help the other people in the family be more inviting, be more compassionate, and welcoming to Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
beautiful.
That's,
mm-hmm.
that's just something that, I saw her lights go on in the last turnaround of, oh my gosh, I can't see, and she saw her own stuff, but I also see the whole family dynamic involved here that could possibly change and be even more inviting and welcoming and wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you very much. And by the way, that brings up, Donna and group, that brings up one of the beauties of this work. It's that we're all, you know, Don's talking about her family. So as you listen to this, and we do this a lot on Power Hour, or at least I do, I try to, if you can experience your own self in a situation like that and ask those questions about whoever your sister-in-law would be, you know, in that situation, whoever you would be judging, then we're actually all do the work together. And it's such a great group process. I've facilitated a lot of times, well, sometimes I, on Power Hour and other situations, I do, everybody will answer the questions like a popcorn, like this is a thought. How do I react when I believe this person, whoever it is, can't see that other people are involved? And then everybody gets to do their own work. And that's what I heard in what you were doing, Karen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you. And you're always invited to do that on any of these calls or on Power Hour. Wow, you guys really rock it. What a group. And I hope other people listen, because this is fabulous. I will say that in as few words as possible on the forum. And you will – oh, and for next time, you're invited to you're not only invited, you're required to put down 3 limiting beliefs if you can particularly find them about other people that irritate you, and you've got a whole holiday to collect them. And just put them on the forum, and we'll use them. Well, we could use her sister-in-law, actually. But, you know, we'll use them to practice turnaround so we can get very clear. Okay?
Okay.
And have a good holiday.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Finding mission. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Bye.